WGN Radio with Terry Savage, the nationally syndicated financial columnist, who is our regular Wednesday guest. Hi, Terry.
Hello, John.
How are you doing?
Well, I'm ready to talk taxes.
Yeah, we've got a spokesperson from the IRS coming up. You said you had a personal question?
Yeah. Did you file yours yet?
No, I have not.
My meeting is Monday. So I think we're going to find out that there are a lot of us. And you know, it's coming down to the wire.
Who are putting it off. Although, I don't know. I was thinking about that because I thought, where's those papers that I need? And then I thought, well, is March 13th really putting it off? I mean, I've got until April 15th, right?
But what does your accounting person say?
They're
not going to be thrilled to see you walk in on the 11th.
Well, maybe I should be doing it myself, by the way, right? Like everybody's got their own deal, and maybe you prefer to pay somebody who's a professional to do it. But I wonder what your assessment is of how easy is it for us average income earners to do our taxes on our own.
Let me put it this way. I wouldn't dare. My tax man, Mark Mann, I want to give him due credit, has been one of my best friends. He's not only does my returns, but he's been such a great help in my financial planning. And I think if you have the right person advising you, I mean, a lot of people just do it online with TurboTax. My son thinks, you know, I'm nutty. He does his, I'm sure, online. But, I'm part of the generation that says, I'd like to make sure this is done right.
Well, I think I am, too. Okay, that's interesting that you say that, because I think a lot of people thought Terry could or would be doing it herself. Eric Smith is going to join us, a spokesperson for the IRS, in just a second. By the way, Terry, do you want to say anything about Women's History Day and Women's History Month?
I'll make it short. This is really interesting. I did some research because I'm giving a speech tomorrow, and I will have to say that we are a little over 100 years since women got the vote. But if you think about this, in 1870, after the Civil War, the 15th Amendment was passed, guaranteeing, quote, the right of citizens to vote shall not be denied or abridged by on account of race, color, or previous condition of servitude. That was 1870. It took another 50 years for women to get the right to vote. I don't think this is a political issue. The 19th Amendment was passed in 1920. And now we seem to have gone backwards in so many ways about women's rights. I mean, 150 years ago, women weren't allowed to own any property in the state of New York. So
how recently was that?
Pardon? 1848, New York passed the Married Woman's Property Act that allowed women to own property in their own name. Before that, they were sort of like they themselves were the property of their spouses. And in my generation, fought so hard for so many rights, and we are both saddened and infuriated, again, apolitically, by the abridgment of those very basic rights that women. You think it go backward? Tell me how the other great civilizations of Rome and Greece, and then 500 years of the Dark Ages, people basically lived in huts and caves until, you know, emerged Leonardo and Galileo and civilization again. So we better stand up for our rights at the ballot box and in every other way, or they could be taken away. We just can't take that for granted. That's my comment on Women's History Month. We are making our own history, and we better stand up and be counted now.
Terry Savage, introduce us to our guest, Eric Smith.
Eric Smith is my go-to guy at the IRS. When you all post tough questions on my blog, I call him. Eric, we're glad to have you, and welcome. But let me ask you to do a public service announcement before we start, because if your eyes are rolling out there and you don't want to think you want to listen to taxes, there is help available this Saturday. Eric, welcome. Why don't you start explaining what's going on this weekend?
Hey, Terry, good to be with you again, both Terry and John. I know we did it last year. It's great to be on again. This Saturday, if you have a tax problem that you just can't solve or haven't been able to solve, maybe notices you've received, maybe you've gotten an a request to validate your identity, something of that nature. We're going to be open down in the Loop at 230 South Dearborn, the office down there, starting at 9 a.m. on Saturday morning, and it's all going to be available on a walk-in basis, first come, first serve. That office for Saturday service, and we do this about three or four times a season each year, that office has been very popular, so I would really recommend getting there early. Come in, we'll see if we can give you a hand. We're not set up to prepare returns or doing things like that, but if you have a tax problem and notice you don't understand and you like to talk to somebody in person rather than over the phone, or you have an ID theft situation involved that's tax-related that you've received a notification from us about, or maybe you find you need to make a payment and you'd really rather do that in person. All those kinds of things we can handle.
But you're not going to do my tax return,
per se. 230
South Dearborn. Yeah, 230 South Dearborn, our office that we've had there for many decades, really.
Yeah, okay.
One more quick question. I know there's centers across the country. Are there any others in the Chicago or Northwest Indiana area or Southern Wisconsin? Because we've got our listeners from all over there.
Yeah, not in terms of Help This Saturday. There's about 70 locations across the country that are going to be open, but this one is the one. We do have help during the week at a number of locations. There's several out in the suburbs, and as you say, in Indiana and Wisconsin. If you go to our site locator on irs.gov, it'll direct you to those locations. Those during the week, though, those offices are by appointment. You need to call a number to set up an appointment. I would take a look at the information on our site locator and call the number and set up your appointment that way.
I promise to post that at the top of terrysavage.com as soon as we get off the air. John, I'll let you take over.
That's good information. But there is a free file system or service that the IRS has that I...
That's right.
Do I sign up for that, or is that online? Can you tell us what that is?
That is, Free File is a partnership we have with several of the tax software providers, and you can go to irs.gov, and you should definitely go through the IRS website. Don't go through anybody else's, irs.gov, and look for the Free File link, and if your income is about $79,000 or less, chances are one or more of the software providers can help you. If you do that, you actually follow a link to their website, but you have to go through Free File, otherwise it's not free. And if you follow the prompts, you'll be able to fill out a basic return. We're not talking about complicated returns, but a basic return for folks who make $79,000 or less.
And if I mail in my taxes or my return, you said you should use the United States Parcel Service, use USPS, and get it certified. Is that right?
Well, we don't require that, but I know a lot of people like to do it that way. If you're filing a paper return, one of the things I would suggest is that a lot of people can actually file electronically who are still doing it on paper. I looked at the recent figures for the state of Illinois, and in tax year 2021, which is the most recent year for which we have complete figures, over 400,000 people still filed their returns on paper. And do you know that over half of those were actually computer prepared? And what that means is that you actually have the option, in most cases, of filing those returns electronically. I would urge people to look at that option, particularly if you're already using a software program to do your return. So don't hit print, hit send, and you'll get that notification that your return has been received, and you'll get it Well, the technical legal requirement is that we issue that within 48 hours, but the reality is that very often it's within a half hour, maybe even an hour or two.
And I know that electronic filing scares some people, but it also gets you your refund back more quickly.
Yes, it does. And we're up to about 93% of people filing their returns electronically. So among those who do it, the people still do it on paper. As I say, many people do it on using software. There's still some people who do it the old-fashioned way with pencil and paper.
Yeah.
But if you do it that way, refunds come more slowly. Typically, if you file electronically, choose direct deposit, you'll get a refund typically within 3 weeks.
Within 3 weeks of hitting send.
But what if you don't?
Right.
I know you've upgraded your Where's My Refund program. Talk to us about that link on the IRS.gov website.
Right. Where's My Refund on IRS.gov? You can just go to IRS.gov/refunds. And if you enter your Social Security number and your filing status and your expected refund, it'll give you the current status of your refund. It'll tell you whether we received your return. It'll tell you whether your return is being processed. And if we have a refund date already set, it'll tell you that, and usually it'll tell you that in advance.
Well, let's talk. I want to. I have the two ways I want to go.
Hold on,
the
Terry.
The first one is. Do we have a minute?
No, we don't. So we'll just pick it up here on the other side real quick, because it's already 12:28. We'll do a little bit of news, then we'll come back with our guest. It's IRS spokesperson Eric Smith. Terry Savage with us on a Wednesday, and our special guest today is Eric Smith, a spokesperson for the IRS, who, among other things, told us a moment ago, 93% of us file electronically, and that when you do, you could expect a return in, on average, about 3 weeks. We got this note from a listener. I filed on a Friday and got my refund the following Wednesday. Electronic all the way. Okay, Terry, our guest is still with us. There were a couple of points you wanted to make sure we got to.
Two quick things and then a reminder about Saturday. The first quick thing is, I know there are a lot of you out there, that's my specialty, is feeling what you're thinking. You haven't filed electronically and you're scared. You say, oh, I don't have a computer. I don't know how to use the computer. You can go to IRS.gov and in the little box put free file. It will link you to a process that will help you file your state and federal return free. Now, you can get help at the public library. You can get help at a number of senior sites where people are there to help you. So don't wait till the last minute. Eric, any thoughts on if someone's just, I'm not doing this?
I would absolutely agree with you on that, sir. Don't wait till the last minute, particularly if you're looking for help, whether it's either free or paid. You know, the tax professionals get pretty busy this time of the year, and if you're using a preparer, you probably ought to have that already set up if you're going to get it done by April 15th. Otherwise, you ought to look at an extension. But if you want to use, in addition, as you mentioned, Terry, in addition to Free File, we have something called VITA, Volunteer Income Tax Assistance, and Tax Aid or Tax Counseling for the Elderly, for senior citizens. Those programs, if you have a basic return, these are trained volunteers who can prepare those returns for free. Each location operates differently because this is community-based service. Some locations are by appointment only, some are by walk-in, and some are a combination of the two. But if you type VITA or
TCE, I'll tell you what, I'll do you one better. Eric, I've got a column just posted on terrysavage.com called Tax Filing Ironies, and at the bottom of that column are all those locations and numbers and also the information about this Saturday, March 16th at 2:30 South Dearborn. Why don't you hit one more thing, because I get pains when people post these questions. What's going on with identity theft and PINs? Just give us one quick sentence.
Well, it certainly is a problem, but you know, one of the things you can do now to help support the identity thieves is to apply for what we call an identity protection personal identification number. Used to be that you had to essentially be invited to do so, and now anybody can do so. So that's an option where you get it's think of it as a little like two-factor identification. You get a second number that you use along with your Social Security number to file your return. And that six-digit number, you get a new one each year, and you use it to file your return. But if you go on irs.gov /IPPIN, it'll tell you how to go through the process to apply for one of those numbers, and then you'll get one every year. Mm.
Erica, one quick question. Is there a phone number that you recommend our listeners write down and use?
We do have a tax help phone line, and it's 800-829-1040. Those lines at times can be quite busy, but wait times have been less this year. We've been staffing up a lot better in terms of being able to help people over the phone. But for people with tax questions or who have gotten a notice and are trying to understand what the notice is telling them, that's a great number to call.
Okay, 800 toll-free, and remember 1040 form. That's the last four digits, so 800-829-1040. Okay. All right, Eric. Let's visit again next year and maybe sometime in between.
Glad to do it anytime.
That's Eric Smith. He's a spokesperson for the IRS. Thank you, Terry Savage, and well done.
Well, thank you. It's important. There's an article, really, up at terrysavage.com. It was put up there because of the 125,000 high-income earners they announced did not file tax returns going back to 2017. The IRS just announced that, and who owe about $100 billion in back taxes. While you and I are struggling trying to get, you know, a $782 refund or get your return filed online, not fair. Let's all file electronically, make it easier on the IRS, free up the resources, they can go after the cheats.
Yeah, well, if the IRS knows there's 125,000 people who are high earners who collectively owe $100 billion going back to 2017, then are they tracking those people? Are they?
They just announced that thank you, Congress, for some extra money. That's what they're going to do this year. Okay? I don't even want to go there. Let's tell you again.
I do. Let's make sure those people pay their fair share.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's a column that's up.
But I mean, that's a thing where if you say, let's give more money to the IRS, people panic. Oh, I don't want them harassing me. I want them harassing you if you owe $100 billion. Come on.
Yes. Billion. 230 South Dearborn, the IRS office. This Saturday morning starts at 9 o'clock. No appointment needed. Not to do your return, but if you're one of these people that writes to me, I have this problem, my identity, all kinds of stuff that you can never get through to them, go downtown this Saturday morning, 230 South Dearborn. It starts at 9. My advice, I used to do this and show up with a camera crew in the olden days. Get there at 8 o'clock and bring all your stuff. Bring your last few tax returns and all your stuff that pertains to your problem.
Okay, some other questions for Terry Savage. Hey, Terry, what would be the reason an employer is not contributing to a 401k? My employer does not.
Well, that's because they're stingy and because all the employees are scared to lose their jobs and they haven't gotten together and said, boss, you know, there are a lot of great jobs out there and all those companies contribute and match up to maybe 50 cents on the dollar, up to 3% or 6%. And if you all got together anonymously and said that, and then if you started looking around for a job with better benefits, you know, you always hear people, I'm looking for a job with good benefits. And you think health insurance, for example, but weekend, you know, when do you have to work? Do they call you in on weekends, that stuff? But employer match, the free money that really juices up your 401k, is really important. And I'll bet you one other thing. If your boss isn't matching, your boss hasn't done enough thinking about the plan, and the plan probably costs too much as well. And so probably that's not a great 401k plan, would be my guess.
Carrie, you're on WGN Radio with Terry Savage. What can we do for you?
Hi. I saw an article on Facebook this morning touting the secret benefits from the government for those born before 1959. And the one that caught my attention was that if you owned your home and you were born before 1959, that you can apply for a government benefit of up to $154,000 as long as you used it to improve your home. And so I'm just wondering, is that a scam or what?
I'm sure it is a scam. There is one one number from 1959, which is now about passed, which is people applying for Social Security before that date have a special ability to use their spouse's Social Security and then get their own. But don't get your financial advice on Facebook. I've never heard of anything like that. It's just a come on. They're looking for seniors probably who want to buy, either want to get a reverse mortgage. That's probably what, if you followed through on it, which I advise you not to do, or you'll be inundated with all kinds of junk email, it's probably touting a reverse mortgage. You know, that's what it is a come. If I had to bet, I'd bet you lunch that that's a scam for a reverse mortgage. Now, there's nothing wrong with a reverse mortgage, but you have to be a certain age to get a reverse mortgage, so that's why they put it in.
Even that. Well, that would make you 66 or older, mm-hmm. and if he, and there is something, though, isn't there, Terry, some sort of gap in Social Security eligibility and
there is
payments?
I'm not even going to get into it, but there is a special program that allows you to take your spouse's and then your own for people who were born before a certain age. To get a reverse mortgage, you have to be 62 and older. But they're just basically trying to get people who are whatever that age would be, 60 or 62 or 46, to click on that link so that they can try and sell you either a home loan or a reverse mortgage or something you don't want to get involved in. Again, do not take your financial tips from Facebook. Take them from me.
Well, here's my advice. Thanks for the phone call. We need to pause, but Carrie, good luck to you. But go ahead and Google $154,000 and 1959 and see if and scam and see if that answers the question for you. Because a different scam came into my inbox this week, and I just typed the principal points of it, and wow, it's amazing how quickly you'll get an answer that it's not true. More business news first. Here's Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Chicago-based CME Group will apply to clear U.S. Treasuries this year. It becomes the first exchange company to publicly announce plans to enter the world's biggest bond market. New rules by the Security and Exchange Commission will change the way trades are finalized, forcing more trades through a clearinghouse. A clearinghouse sits between a buyer and a seller to prevent default and crises cascading through the system. CME, the world's biggest futures and options exchange, wants to be one of those clearinghouses for the $27 trillion Treasury market. Illinois' two main fiscal forecasting agencies say the state's finances will see a strong year, but will tighten next year. The Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability and the Governor's Office of Management and Budget both appear to agree on the forecast, which calls for a strong economy but slowing revenue. The Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability expects the current fiscal year will end nearly $2 billion ahead of what lawmakers budgeted for last May. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Time for the business of food, then, and this is Steve Alexander.
Yeah, thank you, and let's begin with a look at the food calendar. It's National Registered Dietitian and Nutritionist Day. Here's one.
My name is Courtney Shuckman. I'm a registered dietitian at the University of Chicago Medical Center.
Yeah, she's one of those very smart people who tell us what we should not be eating.
Cookies, candy, convenience items like frozen meals and chips and snack foods.
And what we should be.
A variety of fruits, vegetables, nuts and seeds, beans and lentils, and whole grains.
We'll hear more of the advice Courtney has given us over the years on this special day after I thank the Chevy Silverado and Chevy Drive Chicago for sponsoring us. There's never been a better time to put a Silverado in your toolbox. Okay, registered dietitian Courtney Shuckman from the University of Chicago. For those of us who are still hanging in there with our New Year's resolutions to eat better and lose weight, or maybe we've fallen off the wagon and we want to get back on.
I think it's important to start gradual. For a lot of people, I recommend maybe making one new change per week. So it could be something as small as trying to incorporate a fruit or a vegetable with each meal. Don't go the route of these very extreme diets. Maybe focus more on what can you add versus remove. So a lot of times I focus on incorporate more fruits and vegetables. Therefore, your attention is more so on what are we adding to the diet versus what are we restricting, and it makes it a little bit easier to stick with these behaviors.
And if you want to go on a plant-based diet?
You want to make sure that you're doing it appropriately to ensure that you're getting all of your nutrition. Animal sources like meat and poultry and dairy products, these provide a complete protein source, so they contain all of the essential amino acids, whereas plant-based proteins do not. So I often recommend make sure you do your research or work with a healthcare professional who is well-versed in this, like a dietitian, to ensure that, especially for your children, you want to make sure they're getting enough calcium, protein, iron. Those tend to be the bigger ones that are missing in a plant-based diet.
Courtney Shuckman, registered dietitian at the University of Chicago Medical Center, on National Registered Dietitian and Nutritionist's Day.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Also on the food calendar, it's National Coconut Tort Day. I'm Steve Alexander. That's the Business of Food on 720 WGN.
Terry, ready for more questions?
Absolutely. Could I ask people, though, that when you don't, your question doesn't get answered, don't email me. It overwhelms me. If you go to terrysavage.com, post your question on Ask Terry, believe me, I stay up late at night till I can't see anymore, trying to stay up with all the answers on those.
By the way, I Googled $154,000 in 1959, and I didn't find anything.
Nothing.
So
no.
If somebody sees that and they want to forward it to me, 312-981-7200, I'd like to see what you saw. For Terry, I just received a corrected mortgage statement, which is less than the first one I received. I already filed my taxes and have a delayed payment because of the amount I owed. What do I do now? How do I file an amended return?
Your bank sent you a corrected statement of the interest you had paid?
I just received a corrected mortgage statement.
You're from your lender.
Which is less than the first one I received.
And you've already filed your tax return. Well, post that. Do me a favor, and I won't post the name of the mortgage lender, but go to Ask Terry and post that, because I want to know myself exactly what they expect people to do and if they're going to reimburse you in some way for your problems. So let me know. Go to Terry Savage, put it on Ask Terry, and I will email back to you from that.
John and Terry, we are new grandparents of a granddaughter turning 1 year old on Friday. We want to start putting away something every year for their birthday, between $100 and $500 per year. Even though that isn't much, what would be the best vehicle for that?
Go immediately to brightstart.com. I'm going to assume you're Illinois residents, because you'll get a tax deduction of up to $10,000 of contributions every year. That's a 529 college savings plan. You can put money in whenever you want, and it'll all grow tax-free and come out tax-free to be used for college expenses. So the Illinois plan is brightstart.com.
But if they don't go to school, they can't use that money on groceries or cars or anything else.
No, but let them worry about that then, okay?
They can know.
At that point, when they go to work and don't go to college, I mean, let's just all hope they get there, they can roll it over into
a Roth IRA. Can you take that money back?
No, they can roll it over into an IRA.
No, I'm saying if the kid doesn't go to school and I saved go to school, can I get the money back?
Let me tell you something. You can do 5 years of the now $18,000 annual gift at once. So 5 times 18, and my math can't do that fast. So suppose you put a whole hunk in. We're talking about rich grandparents. And your kid turns out to be an absolute horrible person, involved with drugs and everything else. You can always take the money back, pay a 10% penalty, and ordinary income taxes on the gains in the plan. So if you're wealthy, wealthy people do this. They get money out of their estate by making 529 contributions every year, or jumpstart it all at once with 5 years.
It's Terry Savage. Okay, you can write to her as she described, and we'll take more of your questions next week. Thank you for your help today, Terry.
Thank you, John.